the Native Women's Association of Canada has discovered around 580 reported missing and murdered cases from 1944 to 2010. Statistics say that 67% are murders, 20% are missing, 4% are suspicious deaths, and 9% are unknown. My research around this topic has led me to dig even deeper into the specific cases. I was very interested in finding a case in which the victim lived or was murdered close to my hometown. This is how I found out about Carolyn Connolly. Who was Carolyn Connolly? Carolyn Connolly was an Ojibwe woman born in Curve Lake between 1953 and 54. She was a mother to two grown daughters and a grandmother to one known grandson. She was married for a few years, raising her two daughters with her husband before they got a divorce. Her daughters ended up moving in with their father, and she was left much to herself. She had many struggles with drug addiction during her life. Despite many of her struggles, her family describes her well. They always had hope that she'd get herself out of those bad situations, and many times she did. On August 2, 2008, Toronto police received a call from a passerby around 7:30 a.m. about a disturbance near Sherbourne and Shooter Street. When police arrived at the scene, a body was found in an alley behind one of the apartment buildings at 191 Sherbourne Street. An autopsy for the body was scheduled for August 4th. After the autopsy, it was shown that the woman murdered was Carolyn Connolly. The doctors are led to believe she died between 12 and 1 a.m. that morning. She had multiple stab wounds on her chest, and one was deep enough to puncture her heart. At the time her body was found, there were no belongings on her, not even a wallet. There are allegations from her friends and family that she might have been raped, although there's no firm evidence to prove it. Carolyn Connolly was a sex worker and had committed a few crimes in the past. Many of the articles that I found were very vague in information and seemed as if they were blaming her for her own murder because of her past. Some of the older articles or pages that have information on Carolyn Connolly said that Carolyn's screams were heard that night, but nobody had thought to get up and investigate. If there was even one of these people, they might have been able to save Carolyn or at least catch the murderer.
Superintendent Barsky, how can I help you?
Hi, it's Grace. Just calling to see if now's a good time to ask you the questions.
Hi, Grace. Now's a wonderful time.
Can you tell me a bit about her life and how she died?
So let me speak first to how she died. So it appears that she was with somebody that she perhaps knew, only because her friends had told us that she would not have gone into a dark alley with somebody she didn't know or somebody she wasn't familiar with. She died as a result of a stab wound through her heart. She had other stab injuries on her, but the fatal injury that caused her death was an injury to her heart. She was a quiet lady. She had a handful of friends, but she wasn't a very vocal person. She kept to herself. She did on occasion engage in the sex trade industry to make money. But as I say, many of her friends didn't know too many intimate details about her, because she was very private.
What was the final outcome of the case? Was anyone charged? And if not, what prevented that?
So nobody's been charged yet. The case is still an open file. The weekend that Carolyn was murdered was the weekend of the Caribbean Carnival. The only reason I bring that up is because during Caribbean Carnival, there are so many more guests to our city. And with no witnesses to the murder, we have to try and find anybody who may have been in the area and may know anything about this, or perhaps seen Carolyn with somebody, seen her in a store, seen her talking to anybody. And so the pool of people that potentially we would like to have talked to, many of them aren't even from this city. And so we continue to interview people. We continue to speak to anybody who has or believes they have any information that will help us to solve this murder. But it's very challenging, again, going back to her own privacy and the fact that we had no eyewitnesses to the murder.
All right. What about the case that stuck with you most?
Well, you know, when you work in a homicide squad, any of these cases are challenging. But this was a lady who was doing, you know, nothing terribly wrong, certainly didn't deserve any of the fate that she ultimately faced. From speaking to her family, she was a good person. And so, you know, that really sticks with me the most is because, you know, sometimes bad things happen to bad people. This didn't seem to be who Carolyn Connolly was. She didn't seem to be a bad person in any way. Unfortunately, though, we have bad people in our world and that come and go through this city. And unfortunately, sometimes we have people who would otherwise never be subject to that sort of environment and certainly not murdered. But she found herself victim of that. So that's probably the biggest thing that sticks with me.
Do you think her background or the way she made money might have contributed to the crime?
It's possible. You know, without knowing who did this, we'll never, until we find that person, we won't be able to find out why. And when I say that, you know, much of what we do during a murder investigation is interviewing, you know, the people that are held responsible for these things and finding out why it is that they did what they did. And without her to be able to speak, we have to either look to forensic evidence or for the information that comes from those that are accused. So really there are gaps in our ability to answer that. And so that's unfortunate because certainly her family would like us to provide answers that in this case we just don't have.
Do you believe that Toronto is still dangerous for women like Carolyn? What about the rest of Canada?
Well, I think Toronto is actually a very, very safe city. You know, Toronto averages approximately 60 murders a year. If you were to compare Toronto to a city of an equal size in the United States, such as Chicago, Chicago has between 400 and 600 murders a year. So, yes, it's unfortunate that we have as many murders as we do. But when you look at Toronto in a global sense, when you look at Toronto as the fourth largest city in all of North America, we are very fortunate that we live in this this country and in this city because we are very safe. But even in a country, in a city as big as Toronto and a country as large as ours, we have bad people and people who don't care about others, don't care about their own well-being, let alone the well-being of others. And unfortunately, because of that, we end up with people who were otherwise innocent victims in these cases, and people like yourself and I talk about them. So I think it's unfortunate, but I think we are a very, very safe city and a very safe country.
Presently, what does the Toronto Police Service do to keep Indigenous women safe?
So we work, so I run the police station now that is downtown Toronto. And in my division, my men and women are on what we call foot patrol or in community resources or neighborhood community officers. And they do what the Indigenous community calls walkabouts. We work with the elders on a regular basis. We work with their social aspects of the Indigenous culture in the very best way that we can. We are far from perfect, but we continue to try and learn each and every day so that my officers can get better, so that they can provide the best service possible to that community, to all of our communities. But our Indigenous community has had some great challenges, not just in this city, but throughout the country. And so my men and women work very hard, hand in hand with the elders of the community, to try and appreciate and understand how we can better serve their needs in the community. But we need to get better, and we need to continue to get better.
And last question, is there anything else you'd like people to know about the case?
Well, that we still want any information that is available. We still want and need to resolve this. You know, this is a senseless murder. Carolyn's family deserves answers. Carolyn's family deserves that small piece of closure that an arrest would give them. We can never change what happened on that early morning hours, but if we can at least give back to the family some answers, we'd like the community to know that we still very much want to do that, and we can only do it with their help.
All right, that's everything.
Well, Grace, good luck with your project. If there's anything else that you need, please, by all means, don't hesitate to call.
Thank you so much.
Have a great night.
You too.
Bye now.
After Carolyn was murdered, her family was heartbroken. Her daughter, Connie Rapopoulos, said, "We were pretty distant, but she was still my mom, and it's sad to see her go that way. And we loved her, and we miss her." An episode of GTA's Most Wanted featured Carolyn's case. This is the most media attention her case got, and to this day, 13 years later, it is still gone unsolved. Anyone who might have information or might have seen Carolyn that morning is urged to call Superintendent Michael Barsky at 416-808-7422, Superintendent Peter Code at 416-808-7393, or Crime Stoppers at 416-222-TIPS. Hello and thank you so much for listening. This podcast was created and edited by Grace Manning with help from Aaron Sheedy. Special thanks to Superintendent Michael Barsky, who I called, and Carolyn's friends and family, who helped with the creation of online articles and the investigation. If you want more information on missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, please visit www.cbc.ca/missingandmurdered.